Hello and welcome to Beating the Drum for Biodiversity. My name is Celia Carana and this is your podcast for understanding the importance of biodiversity for our health, our food and the survival of the planet.
Hello lovely listeners, today we are joined by Melanie Tyas. Previously a teacher and national park ranger, Melanie now runs the Eat Dirt program at Bellingen High School, where children spend a day a week outside completing activities such as bush regeneration, growing vegetables, playing games, and creating art. She's quick to draw the line between time outside in nature and improved mental health, and talks to us about the benefits she's seeing within the children and her vision for the future. Mel champions optimism and it's contagious. By the end of this episode, you'll be feeling it too. Enjoy.
Melanie, thanks so much for joining us at thebeats.org. We really appreciate it. Mel, you're Regional Community of Practice Coordinator for Land Care, which is quite an interesting title, I think. But also, you're doing some extraordinary things at Bellingen High School, which really we find very exciting. Tell us a little bit first about what is this community of practice for land care, and maybe then what you're doing at Bellingen.
Sure, and thanks for having me, Louise and Celia. It's great to be here. It's very warm up here in Bellingen today, I have to say. So, I'm the Regional Community Practice Coordinator for Landcare New South Wales, and that's basically a four-year funded program from state government, and we work very closely with our partners, Local Land Services, and we've got 84 coordinators across New South Wales, Landcare coordinators, doing some fabulous, fabulous things. So in relation to Bellingen High, that's my one-day-a-week job. And we're really trying to transform education. Education, in my opinion, and quite a few people I've spoken to of the same opinion, it hasn't caught up with where we are as people. We've still got kids squashed into classrooms where they could be so much better valued actually in nature, caring for nature, looking after their environment, and being on the ground and immersed. We're losing that nature connectivity. And the longer we stay out of it, the worse our problems become. You need to have that immersion to get that love for nature. And that's what we're trying to do, connect them back to nature, to country, to each other, to place. And we use a variety of tools to help them get there. And it's been very challenging, but it's really rewarding. To me, the education system needs to be transformed. And Dominique Perrottet recently said, in relation to health, we can't tinker, we need to transform. And I think the same thing applies to education.
Fantastic. And transformation is absolutely what we have to do with the urgency that we have right now with regards to looking after our biodiversity and nature. And in Australia, our endangered and threatened species, because that's why BEATS exists, to gather people like you together and learn from you and share some of the good work that you're doing so that we can look after our nature. How are you finding the Bellingen School? How are the children responding? How are the kids responding? What ages are they?
They're year eight. So we've got a group of year eights who are 13, 14 years old. Look, they're responding really well. We listen to their conversations, and it's been very telling. And one of them said yesterday, this program's great because it's taught me how to deal with peer pressure. So it's not just the environment we're trying to look after. We actually have to fix their little minds and their mental health before we can actually get them on the road to repairing nature. So this program was made possible from a grant from Resilience New South Wales, and it was a Black Summer bushfire grant. And the whole premise of it was, as they look after and heal the land, they're healing their minds too. And that's what we really focus on. And we found that the results of COVID, fire, drought, mouse plagues has really left an indelible mark. And so we're trying to really get them on the path to recovery and healing nature and getting your hands in the soil and dealing with that bacteria that actually raises your serotonin is a great way to do it. And just getting them in the fresh air. You know, we had one girl say to me earlier on the pitch, I don't like being outside. And now she loves it. So even those little changes. And we've got another young person, Cyrus, in the group who has just blossomed in every way, shape and form. So just that change in them and their confidence and their trust is just really heartwarming. And we don't focus on the negatives about climate change and, you know, disaster. because then they lose hope. So what we actually do is we give them that hope. And there is a lot of hope. If you act locally, it's that whole thing, act locally and you get those big global results. And that's what we're doing with these kids.
And the name for your program is Eat Dirt, yeah?
Yes, it is. One of the kids actually coined that because Melinda Pavey came and launched the program for us. And I was explaining to her about the fact that children will inherently eat dirt because it is a raises serotonin. So one of the kids said to me, because the original title was Creating Connected Resilient Communities, which just doesn't have the same flair as Eat Dirt. So yes, we've gone with Eat Dirt, and it really describes what it's about. And you know, one day one of these kids face planted in the vegetable patch and he said, yeah, look, I'm eating dirt. so they also grow veggies, they do bush regen. So it's trying to wrap land care up into one neat package. So land care is, it's an amazing organism, really. And it's all about people care. So if you look after people, then they're much more likely to want to get involved in nature and looking after things. So it's people care, it's from regen farming, it's permaculture, it's growing your own veggies, it's threatened species management, it's bush regen, it's dune care. It really does encompass everything. But at the heart of that is caring for the people who are doing these things. So if we care and we connect, we just get a much better result.
That's so amazing, amazing to hear. And great that you're kind of focusing on the mental health aspect as well, to look after yourself, to look after the planet. And you mentioned that it's your like one day a week job. And obviously that's taking the kids out of school as well. How have you managed to balance the need for kind of meeting the curriculum demands with the time outside?
What we did was we looked at the CARA, which is the curriculum, and we have woven most of it in. It can fit. But we're also about teaching those soft skills that they don't really learn at school. And that is the ability to be agile, innovative, creative, thinking on their feet. And they're the skills that we really need going into, you know, this century. Well, we're 22 years in already, but they're the skills that they'll need when they get out of school. We now know that most school leavers will have 5 careers in their life. It's not the same as when I left school or, you know, Louise left school, but it's really changed, and the education system hasn't kept up with that. So this is really about transformational change, changing the way kids learn. I mean, I was speaking to somebody the other day and we're talking about maths, and we obviously want them to have all those basic numeracy and literacy skills so they have that foundation. But the reality is now everybody carries around a phone and has a calculator. So we've got all these time-saving things. So as long as we've got the basics, then we can really build on that. And really the way schools are at the moment is they're very siloed, so the subjects don't really join together. And if you are taught in that way, it's very much in one ear and out the other, because you can't, there's no sort of scaffolding. So for every day we actually have a theme. So we have Uncle Miklo comes in and talks in language and tells us stories and in relation to that theme, and then we connect in circle and we do our check-in. Then we do some primal games as well in the afternoon as the team building. We do our veggies, we water our veggies, and we do our bush regen. So, and all, we carry that theme through. So yesterday the theme was perseverance, and Uncle Miklo really tested us because he spoke in language. He was telling a story in language and we just couldn't get it. So we really had to sit there and persevere and just listen and try and get all those clues, those visual clues. So in relation to the curriculum, we are doing it, but just in a very different way, but in a way that they can build upon. And I said to my son, who's actually in the program, I said, oh, how do you find Thursdays? And he said, well, I really like it. It's not in one ear and out the other. And I thought, well, yeah. And I don't want to knock the education system, but it really does need to change gear, basically. Change gear so that kids are connected to each other too. You know, particularly with all this mental health. And I have an art therapist working with the students, and she did a depression and anxiety stress test on them. And, you know, some of them were severely anxious and depressed. And that's so dreadful for kids of this age. So we really need to work with them and get them. They're not going to do anything amazing until they're right in their own selves. And so that's our foundation. So it's been a massive learning curve, because you go in there thinking, I'll do this, this, and this. And then you meet the kids and you think, well, that's not going to work. So it's had to be very adaptive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what keeps us exciting too. It's certainly not mundane, and we do discuss it a lot at home.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think sometimes parents obviously try and engage their children and say, like, oh, what are you learning at school today? And the kid's like, ugh, mum, go away. Whereas this is like clearly something that they're excited about. And as you mentioned, it's not just like learning the definition of perseverance. It's learning through having to persevere. So, yeah, I think that's awesome to hear all these stories. I was wondering whether or not you've had any traction in kind of increasing that transition of curriculum from the more classroom-based rote learning through to this, and if there's any changes that have come off the back of it.
Well, I should hear today or next week if we've been successful in a grant from Regional Youth. So we've applied for $3 million to really try and ramp this up. And if we don't get that grant, I'm not giving up anyway. So we will eventually get a grant to enable us to do this. Very determined. But what we have the backing of Bellington High, which is fantastic. So the principal has said, yeah, year 7, 8, and 9, you can have a day each with them, so the whole year as opposed to one class. So, look, that's really exciting and really scary all at the same time. But, yeah, we're really, really pumped for this to happen and really looking forward to hopefully getting some good news soon.
Yeah, that would be great. And how are you managing to balance that between your 4-day-a-week job, which is obviously 4 times more than what you have on Eat Dirt?
It's a juggle. It's a juggle. Yeah. But you make the time. If it's something that you really believe in, then you make the time for it. So just a bit of my background, I grew up in the bush. Well, I didn't. I grew up in Normanhurst, but at that stage it was bush. And we just spent our whole childhood playing in the creek with the turtles, and it's a little bit in the blood. My mum's a bush carer. She was a founding member of Sydney Metropolitan Wildlife Services. So it's always been something that we have been engaged in as kids. And I spent a lot of time just reflecting in nature, and it's just the best place to do it. And following that, I became a teacher for 4 years in Sydney Southwest and left because I couldn't handle the fact that kids would just keep going up grades without necessarily having any education behind them. So this is another thing that we really need to transform. We need to get mastery learning. We need to get kids to actually understand, not just push them through because they've turned 13 or 14. So there's a lot of change that needs to happen. And then after I was a teacher, I became a National Parks Ranger in Sydney Harbour for 22 years, I think, and then escaped to Bellington and took up my role with LANC in New South Wales. So as a ranger, I had a very education focused role. Most rangers have got science degrees and like going out there and doing the fauna surveys, etc. But my bent was very much more around education, and I was fortunate enough to look after the endangered population of penguins at Manly, and we did some great activities with kids. And we actually took a class, I think they were sixth grade class, down to one of the beaches in Sydney Harbour, and they installed penguin nest boxes and actually got to see the penguins. And at the end of their year six, they actually said that that was one of their highlights of their whole school career. So that effect, you don't know what effect you have just with one excursion of what that will do for children in the long term. So that education and actually doing, not just hearing about it, but actually getting out there and physically hands-on, because that's how we learn. We don't learn by just, well, some kids do. I say 20% of kids are fine in a classroom, but 80% are not. And I sort of feel like we set them up to fail. They're on a bell curve of what mark do you get? And I just, it just does not sit well with me that we have this competition. We need collaboration. If we're going to fix the environment, it's not done through competition. It's done through collaboration. And that's what we're really focusing on. I mean, we do have some competition. We have who can pull out the most trad in the shortest amount of time, that sort of competition. But everybody's a winner in that sense. But yeah, it's collaboration is key. Collaboration and connection.
There's a term that I've used before called co-opetition, which is a term of cooperation with the competition element that human beings, rather like. I'm faster than you, especially if you're in year 7 or year 8. And I can get the most weeds, or my tomatoes are fatter than yours, or something of this ilk. But
I've written that down, Louise. I've written that down.
Co-opetition. Experiential learning is absolutely, palpably, by far and away, a most profound way of learning and feeling and connecting, because you've used the term connecting a lot.
Yeah.
Mel, and I know it's a term that you use. And you are also working quite closely with First Nations people, although
yes.
I think you've told me that all the children in the class are not First Nations people
no.
at all, or no. particularly speak in language at all. And how are you finding that connection with land, with country, with the original inhabitants of our place here?
Well, it's working out wonderfully. When I started the program, I was in a bit of a state of flux, because when I was in Sydney and I was a ranger, I had 20 years worth of connections. And coming up here, I didn't have that whole range of people I could draw on. And it was just one of those synchronistic moments where we were actually launching the program the next day that I ran into a former coordinator who was Aboriginal, and he introduced me to Uncle Miklo, who coincidentally happened to be giving a language class that night directly preceding the meeting I was having in the same spot. So he stayed and chatted to the parents. And so all of these things, you know, when something's meant to be, it's meant to be. And one of the young students said she didn't want to necessarily come along to this program because she'd miss out on her Goombangia learning. And then she had Uncle Miklo the first day she got there, and her comment was, I've learnt more here than I've, you know, learnt in 6 months, just through having that connection with Uncle Miklo, who's a local Goombangia man. So just the stories he tells and the way he weaves things in, it's fascinating. The language is very difficult, though, I have to say. I've not yet mastered that, but giving it my best shot.
Mel, how far do you think the terrific work that you're doing at Bellingen Eat Dirt is beginning to filter through the state?
This is where my four-day-a-week job comes in really handy, because I get to deal with 84 coordinators across New South Wales. And one of those coordinators is in parks, and I sent her an email earlier this week, and her response was really quite devastating. And one of the schools, this is the second time in a month it's flooded, but all the kids have just had to be pushed into one school. So a program like this, particularly when we're having these inclement weather events, you know, storms, floods, etc., you don't need the physical building of the school. It's all outside. So it has enormous implications for what we're facing at the moment. And it enables the students to keep learning, but in a different way. And then they're not losing their routine as much, because they're still going to school. So my ultimate aim for this program and the group of people I work with is a land care day once a week in every school for years kindy through to about year 10, where they will do this kind of integrated learning. Ideally, I'd like 5, but I need to start a little bit smaller. But if we show the benefit of this one day a week and what that does for the kids, hopefully the government will say, yes, this is the direction we need to go in.
And so if you think in the context of integrated learning, just to bring all of this concept of what you're doing at Eat Dirt and what you're doing in land care together with the education system, essentially you can be out on country and you need to apply science, you need to apply maths, you need to you need to be able to tell a story about it as well. So you've got to have some comprehension of how you actually express yourself in English. You also touch on the history of this place, or the history of how you got there, and then the geography of the country. What's the geology like? What's the shape of it?
Yes.
And so on. So in many ways, all of those key learning subjects that you have to cover off at school get caught up into, is that integrated learning, Mel?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things we were saying about the bush regen, is you've got an area, how big is it? How many plants will you need if it's this big, etc.? You've got the slope. How do you calculate the slope? How should you do it properly? So that maths is woven in. But we also do darts for maths as well. So they learn by doing, and they get quicker and quicker with their mental arithmetic. So we do try and integrate the whole thing. So it's I guess it's similar to project-based learning, but all outside, and with that big focus on connection to nature, country, place, each other. So, yeah.
That sounds wonderful. I wish that was in place when I was in school. Much better than 5 days in the classroom.
I totally agree. Look, I wasn't a good student. I hated school. I couldn't see why we had to be stuck in a box. And when I was a ranger, I look out and I look at all the weeds and think, we've got this little active green army. Why aren't we getting them out there, doing something they enjoy and doing something that's good for the environment? Why are we keeping them in a classroom learning about this when they could actually be doing it? And obviously government doesn't have a great deal of money for bush regeneration, but we do, we have the people to do it. We just need to be more savvy about the way we do things. And we could improve the environment so quickly if we just thought a little bit out of the box.
Yeah, I love that. Out of the box thinking is definitely the way to go. So yeah, thank you so much for your time today, for making the time for this conversation. When we wrap up conversations in our podcast, as I mentioned to you earlier, we usually go through the three questions: think, feel and do. So for think, we're really looking to understand, what do you want people to be thinking about, reading about? From a feel perspective, how do you feel about the current situation? And then from a do perspective, what would you want people to do about it? So if we start with think, I'll hand over to you.
I want people to think that transformational change is possible. Too often we're scared to actually go out there and give it a really red hot cracking go because we think the system is too hard to change. But I want people to know that it's possible and we can do it and we should do it. We need to do it for our kids. School should be a happy place. It should be a place where they want to go. And at the moment it really isn't. And it doesn't matter what school it is, kids just want to be doing something physical, particularly year eight and year nine. They want to be outside. They want to be actually engaged. So I just want people to really understand that anything is possible. And if we work together, we can achieve amazing, amazing outcomes. But I want to actually thank the principal of Bellingen High for being so flexible, because he's been amazing, you know, because it's a big thing to just say, yes, here's a class, have them. So yeah, really supportive environment.
Yeah, I love that positive mental attitude there. And then from a feel perspective, how do you feel about it? How's it all going and look to the future?
I feel incredibly positive. I sometimes think this is really difficult. So even I have that in my head, this is really difficult, but I actually don't have a choice. I feel like I have to do it. It's quite a strange phenomenon, but it needs to be done. And I honestly think that my whole career has led me to this spot, and it's not time to lie down and think it's, you know, time to rest. It's time to really put on the burners.
Yeah, you said that earlier, what will be, and it's brought you here, so it's wonderful.
Yes, exactly.
And finally, in terms of do, what would you want people to go out and do?
Join local bush care and get involved. So just get involved in your local community. There's so much out there. You know, there's coordinators throughout New South Wales. Get in contact with the local bush care, June care, or just start reading and getting involved. But I want people to feel empowered and also feel that we can do anything. And we can really save this planet. It's just up to us and what we do on a daily basis. So I just want people to think about what they can do, but also think about their if they've got children, think about their children, think about their education and what they could do to support a system like this and how important it would be for their children. It's amazing how many people I talk to now who say their kid doesn't want to go to school, they're disengaged. And when I mention a program like this, they say, look, how can we get it at our school? So there's a real appetite out there for it. So the last thing is for people to give up. We want people to feel positive that this can be in every school if we just work together to make it happen. And if the government sees fit to give me the money.
Love that. Love that. So many nuggets of knowledge and learning that you've shared with us today. So thank you so much for your time. I know I've taken a lot from it. I'm sure Louise has taken a lot from it. So I think we can wrap it up there.
For more great conversations, please click that subscribe button. And while you're there, if you can rate and review the podcast, we'd be really grateful. It goes a really long way to help spread the word. To keep up to date on everything that's going on with The Beats, the charity that sits behind this podcast, then head on over to our website at thebeats.org or follow us on Instagram at thebeats_org. Now for the credits. This podcast was produced and edited by me, Celia Cavana. Our amazing podcast cover art and music was created by Vinod Rao. Full credit and license information for the original sounds used can be found on our website. And that's it. You've made it to the end. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.